Hello, everyone. This is Tom Uren, and I'm here with the Gruck. G'day, Gruck. How are you?
G'day, Tom. I'm good, and yourself?
I'm well. This week's Between Two Nerds is brought to you by Yubico, and I spoke to Yubico's VP of Solutions, Architecture and Alliances, Derek Hansen, and that interview is on the channel this week, and we spoke all about how and why an organization might want to roll out passkeys. It was a good chat. So one of the things before we get started properly is that I made a prediction last week that there would be more Ukrainian disruption, and there's already been more Ukrainian disruption announced. So
very, very interesting stuff as well. They hit the MOD and stole their files.
Right. So we'll keep an eye on what Ukraine is doing. But now, in the last couple of weeks, there have been a series of events that are sort of a confluence, at least for you. They've kind of triggered you. And a couple of them are ransomware related. So in the States, there's been an Alpha V attack on Change Healthcare, which has had really a lot of impact. And it's sort of ground things to a halt. Alpha V was actually disrupted by the FBI back in late December. There's been another sort of ongoing back and forth with Lockbit, where there's been a disruption effort against them. And we thought we'd talk about what it is that makes those groups vulnerable to disruption. Except instead of using the word groups, you like the word systems.
Yeah. So I think systems is a good term because it's more generally applicable, because I think this is a general rule of things, right? So it's sort of like any business or any group. And so a system is basically, it's a bunch of interconnected, independent, and interacting parts, right?
Now, in the context of this discussion, a ransomware group is a system, and we've spoken about the value of disrupting ransomware groups with offensive cyber operations. Patrick he's advocated the same thing. Now, the FBI and other groups around the world, the
NCA,
UK's National Crime Authority?
Notional Cyber Agency.
have done it. But you think they might be missing a trick?
Yeah. So I think, you know, first of all, commendable. Good job on listening to the Risky Business family of podcasts and taking our advice. You know, you're off to a good start. So if we may humbly suggest a bit of a change in strategy. So I think the problem here is that they're trying to disrupt a system by going after non-essential parts of the system, like the easily replaceable, interchangeable, non-load-bearing parts, right? So if you're looking at this recent disruption of Lockbit, they went after Lockbit's infrastructure that supplied their website and their chat system to talk to some of their affiliates and stored some of the data that they had. And like it's obviously the sort of thing that you can hit with cyber because it's computers. So it's very exciting. Mm-hmm. It feels very much like we must do something. This is something. We must do this.
Now, I suppose your contention is that these are all replaceable things. So they had a dark net site and they somehow got control of that, got the private keys. And so therefore, Lockbit, the group, either doesn't have access or has to contend with them.
Well, they just set up new infrastructure. They changed their address and everything. Now, it's not like bbc.com. It's not a brand name, domain name, where like if someone doesn't have it, that's a serious problem for their business. It's a 25 character long string or something like that. You know, no one remembers it. The small number of people that work for them directly, they can just contact by messenger and say, go here now. Mm-hmm. And then the people that they hack who have to go to an address that's given to them in a message, you can give them a new address. You know, like you can change that without a problem. They're not tied to those particular addresses. Like it's embarrassing. They don't like it, but embarrassment is not going to interfere with $1 billion a year business.
Right,
you
right.
Know, you can eat a lot of embarrassment with $1 billion coming in, you know? So the problem is that they're looking at things that are easily disrupted by cyber, and they're not thinking about the system that they're trying to disrupt. So they're sort of, it's a bit of a forest for the trees problem.
Mm-hmm.
And what they need to do is they need to look at the business that is Lockbit, right? Like the group. And they need to look at that system and say, which part of this are vulnerable to cyber and that we can reach it, and are also critical load-bearing parts of the system that, mm-hmm. you know, that keep the actual system running. And if they stop working, the system will fall apart. And so in this case, the system is the people, the process, the technology, and the culture, although the culture doesn't really matter in this case. So it's sort of like people, process, and technology. These are the things that make that system function. And I think if you're looking at it, probably what you want to attack is the people, because the technology, such as the infrastructure, is very easily replaceable. The process is, it's not based on technology in this case, right? Like, your process would be the relationship that the people have with each other, that trust that it's sort of built on, is, I think, the most vulnerable part of a ransomware group as a system. And for my money, what I would want to do is I'd want to interfere with that trust relationship,
mm-hmm.
and make it so that they cannot work together, that they don't trust each other, right? That you introduce friction into that part of the system.
Right. So I was just thinking about one way of looking at an organization is that it's made up of resources, processes, and priorities.
Uh-huh.
And so really what people have done in the Lockbit example is they've attacked the resources.
Uh-huh.
And you're saying that the problem is that when you've been running a business at hundreds of millions of dollars a year, which I think is probably about the right order for Lockbit, maybe more.
Yep.
The resources in this case are, I suppose, code and servers, and they've done something with the servers, but they've left the processes and the priorities alone. And those processes, right. I guess, include things like being able to communicate with affiliates and like have a community in a way.
Mm-hmm. And part of the difficulty with disrupting that directly, but also part of what makes it vulnerable, is that the community is not limited to just inside Lockbit. There's a larger ecosystem,
mm-hmm.
that it's part of. So there's the forums and other communities where these people interact, and you can reach them. So it's, even if you take away every way that they have of communicating from that one core system within Lockbit, you take away all of the stuff that they've been using there, they'll be able to reach each other and coalesce, and anyone that doesn't make it along can be replaced with someone else.
Right.
There's too much money to allow something like that to interfere.
Right. You mentioned trust. What this brings to mind is an example that ASD talked about, the Australian Signals, mm-hmm. Directorate. There was actually a documentary where they talked about disrupting someone. I think they were a Russian malware developer, and they were targeting Australian government COVID relief payments early in the pandemic.
Yeah, don't do that.
And what they did was they got access to this person's, I presume it was their computing environment, and they, mm-hmm. they fiddled with the malware to make it not work well. And I guess for the sort of action on Lockbit, it would be, yes, job done, malware doesn't work. But what they did next was then they created drama on criminal forums, basically to try and destroy this person's reputation. And so in this example, fiddling with the malware was a way to destroy his reputation and have the end effect. It was a means to an end rather than the end in itself.
Yes, exactly. And I think that that's sort of what the NCA might have not done sufficiently in this case.
Now, they did a lot of trolling, and I wonder if that trolling, which was things like, you know, we know who you are, we know who the main spokesperson is, we've got a lot of information about you, that is trying to achieve the same end effect, right?
Right. But then if you don't deliver, you lose credibility.
Right.
And you can troll, but I don't think people are going to stop a $100 million a year business because someone is like making fun of them.
Right. So at this point, you've observed the trolling, but you haven't observed the implementation or the...
They've been very funny in talking... there's a tweet where it's like, when I hear someone speaking softly, I think, wow, that guy must carry a big stick.
So too much trolling, not enough stick is what you're saying.
Yeah, too much trolling, not enough stick. And I think that impacts credibility, right? If you say like, I know who you are, you know, I'm the cops, I'm going to come and I'm going to, you know, you're going to regret it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just 24 hours, any minute now, less than 24 hours. You know, and a week later, nothing's happened. I think the guy is probably no longer, I think he's no longer quite as terrified as he might have been
right
before.
Okay, so that seems like if the public part of the NCA operation against Lockbit was just the takedown, there needs to be another part.
Right.
And so maybe that's happened. It's not obvious yet, right?
Right. So, I think the example of the malware developer is perfect, where it's like if you treat the technical part of what you're doing, that sort of technical hacking, as an enabler to go after something that's actually critical to the functioning of that system.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, if they hack all of the server stuff, but then they use that as a cover to start posting. For example, if they could take over the account of one of the lead guys,
mm-hmm,
while also taking over, you know, a bunch of their crypto wallets and stuff like that, start draining them and then posting as that guy saying, oh no, the feds are taking all the money. I guess no one's going to get paid out. That's too bad. Well,
right.
Sort of just create the impression of
the
management using this as an excuse to cheat everyone.
Right. Right. So that brings us to our second example. So like I mentioned earlier, AlphaV was disrupted by the FBI in late December,
uh-huh,
but they've been back in a big way in that they claimed responsibility for a ransomware attack on Change Healthcare. And this had a lot of impact on the US health system in that people claim insurance through Change Healthcare. And that was disrupted for a very long time. When I say a very long time, I mean weeks.
Right.
But the healthcare...
Which is a long time to go without medication.
Well, it's a long time to go without money if you're a hospital, from basically. But what seems to have happened in the last couple of days is that, as we speak, is that a ransom was paid of $22 million US dollars, and it appears that AlphaV, the group, has just absconded with that ransom. Now, that seems to be a more significant disruption for AlphaV, right? In the
right,
no matter who caused it, no one is likely to trust AlphaV again.
Right. This is going to have a bigger impact on their ability to keep operating as a ransomware group than anything the FBI did in December. That was.
Yep.
It was actually visible.
Yeah. Now, so we don't know for sure that this wasn't an operation, right?
In right.
It's.
We hope that it was because it was actually good.
I would like to. I would like to believe. But it seems like if you were still in a position to do that, you probably would have just given Change Healthcare the keys in the first place. So I'm pessimistic. But anyway.
Yeah. The fact that we think it could be an operation reflects the sort of operation that we believe should happen,
mm-hmm,
I think, right? And that this is what should be done, right? Is you look at the things that actually make that system work, which is the trust an affiliate has that if I use your program, you know, if I use the Black Cat brand of malware or, you know, the whole ransomware ecosystem that you provide me, and I do a job that pays out, I will get my share of the money.
Yeah, yeah. AlphaV is also known as Black Cat, in case we didn't mention that before. Yeah.
Right. So that's the thing that you go after, right? It's the trust that people have in using AlphaV for doing ransomware, right? And if they think that using Alfie, there's a 50-50 chance that they'll get their payment, right?
Or less, hopefully.
Right. They're not going to do it, right? Like, I mean, I don't know about you, but $22 million seems like a life-changing amount of money.
Yes.
You know, like that's... I would be upset if someone did not pay that to me, right?
Yep.
And if that was my business and that sort of thing happened to my peers, I would take note. I would go, wow, if I come by the big score, you know, like if I could do all these like little things and they let me do it, but as soon as I come by one big score, they steal it, why would I use them at all? Like that's not worth pursuing at all. So I'm very much convinced that that's the sort of operation that we should be seeing, the sort of reputational attacks, the parts of the system that are exposed to cyber, right? Like it's a, mm-hmm. it's a Bitcoin wallet, you can get access to it. So it's exposed to cyber and it's a load-bearing part of the system. You know, it's trust mm-hmm. that they have. Like that's a critical part of what makes it work. That's the sort of thing that I think we should be seeing.
Right. Now, a while ago, the National Cyber Force, which is the UK's force that goes around disrupting and doing those kinds of operations, produced a white paper where they talked about sort of my interpretation is exactly what we're talking about.
Yes.
They seem to have this mindset that would be about we need to figure out where in a system we can have an effect and and do it. Yet I think that the UK is small enough and close-knit enough in terms of its intelligence personnel that they must have talked to the NCA about this.
I would like to believe so, yes.
Now, I can understand in the US system, it's a lot bigger, there's a lot more people, they're all huge organizations, and I could see that the FBI would go, yes, we know how to do this, this is our job, we've got a way of doing things. And it might
be... Why don't you go play with a abacus or something? go play with a calculator, nerd boy.
So I guess my thinking there is that I haven't totally written off what's happened with Lockbit yet for that reason.
Let's see. Yeah. There's something there in that the culture in the UK is a lot more of like we get the right person on the job and we just let them get on with it.
Yeah.
And I think that in the US there's quite a bit more of the contention and tension between the different elements of the IC.
Well, it's more legalistic and authorities based rather than, I guess the UK is more principles based. And the principle is we want to disrupt these buggers.
Right. Just, they just remind me of this. There's a famous joke of like an FBI guy was giving a talk to CIA. He says something along the lines of, you know, like, I'm happy to see that, you know, we can come here, we can put our differences aside and unite against the true enemy, state. Right. So I'd say that for maybe legitimate businesses with a lot more infrastructure, that's actually important, not just servers and things like that, but actual, they run on infrastructure. And I'm thinking of Colonial Pipeline. Mm-hmm. Right, where they lost the ability to track how much oil was going anywhere, which was what they also used for billing, or the billing was sort of tied up with this whole thing. So they lost the ability to know how much oil they were sending anywhere, which is bad for an oil company. Change Healthcare lost the ability to operate at all, right? And that's kind of important when you're processing, you know, insurance stuff. So these are load-bearing parts of their systems. These are systems that are vulnerable to cyber at a technological level, which is, I think, it's sort of a disproportional risk that civil society bears going forward. Is that
right? Right. I guess thinking about what I've understood from what you've said, I would say that they're points of leverage rather than like disrupting Change Healthcare, that particular aspect where it was responsible for insurance payments. It's not going to make the business go away. But you can coerce the business. Well, obviously they could coerce it to the tune of $22 million. But it seems like it's on a trajectory that they'll pay it and their business may be damaged, but it's still an ongoing concern, right?
Right. I guess part of the point I'm getting at here is that a lot of legitimate businesses are systems that are inherently vulnerable to cyber because the technology part of their system is actually load-bearing.
Right, right. Yeah, it's relatively more important than it is for a ransomware group.
Right. And so in terms of like things to be concerned about going forward is that civil society is inherently more vulnerable to cyber than these sort of illicit groups that use cyber to do stuff, but they are not dependent on cyber in the same way. They're not dependent on technology in the same way. Even though they're more technologically based, they have a lighter touch in that they're not dependent on their exact specific existing stuff right now.
Right, right. It's more a group of people who are willing and able to do bad things with computers rather than a set of computers that are doing things for people.
Right, exactly, exactly. And it's, you know, we used to make a lot of jokes about, you know, financially motivated attackers because that was just not very interesting compared to a state doing, you know, state power things. But money is actually kind of powerful. I mean, if you want to talk about like these financially motivated industrialists who have created the Industrial Revolution, you know, it's not as exciting as the handcrafted artisan who has a love of and passion for his craft. That's true, but we kind of have civilization as we know it because of financially motivated actors. Right. And I just think it's worth keeping in mind that financial motivation is actually incredibly powerful, particularly when you start talking about millions of dollars for a couple of weeks' work. You know? Like, that is an effective motivator. So if you show up and you're like, look, I know you've made $22 million, but to stop you from doing that again, I'm going to take away your laptop.
And your website. You know?
And your website. Yeah. Good luck, pal.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
Thanks a lot, Tom.